God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. Ego is a human problem. It is tied to sin problems. Sometimes it's tied to lack of gratitude. And Satan loves to play ego. He loves to stoke it and loves to move us into positions where we can tell ourselves we're doing such good for other people. And meanwhile, nudge, nudge, push, push, shove, shove, people end up revealing things. There was another rogue judge ruling recently, and this is a federal judge who's issued an injunction to stop President Trump's temporary protected status, or removing people with temporary protected status, 350,000 Venezuelans. So let's look at this. The lawsuit was filed in San Francisco by seven Venezuelan nationals who argued the Trump administration's decision is not only unlawful, but politically motivated and racially biased. Okay, let's take it in reverse. When the people who ran Joe Biden decided to pick a group of people from a specific country, Venezuela, and if you like to play the race game of a specific race, and to give them temporary protected status, having not interviewed any of them, that wasn't racist. And it wasn't politically motivated. But doing the exact opposite from the executive branch is. So a president can do a thing willy-nilly, if you want to look at it that way. Another president cannot do the thing back willy-nilly. It doesn't add up at all. Then there's this. So seven non-citizens went to a district court judge to get a nationwide ruling in an American court. It's absurd. The word district needs to mean something, right? So there was an opportunity in Congress to pass legislation to take to the president's desk that would allow us to enshrine in law the fact that the word district means district. That should be entirely non-controversial. But some representatives, one of them voting for her own interests above this nation's, and it saddens me, honestly. Given that I really like many of the positions Anna Paulina Luna takes, I happen to think that she has great promise in politics, but not now. She's a mother. Praise God. She has a baby. Praise God. She thinks that the time between mother and child in early childhood is important. Praise God, it is. And she decides to work in Congress where you can't take kids. I guess you can take them up and breastfeed them, but you can't have them there all the time. This is a situation America's put itself in through costs and regulations and by designing a system that is about being consumers. We put ourselves in positions where mothers work. And sadly, that means babysitting. Now, that's always happened. There's always been time when someone else take care of the kids. Could be that you're in the agrarian society. It could be that back in the day, couples went on dates. Someone stayed behind to watch the kids. This is the argument that stopped us from debating the SAVE Act, which would secure American elections by making sure that non-citizens don't vote, but someone doesn't want a babysitter. Someone who chose to have a child and chose to run for office doesn't want a babysitter? we had an opportunity to clarify through law that a district court judge makes decisions in a district, not nationwide. They're not president. But some folks like Anna Polina Luna, well, this was about them. And it's about the Democrats getting to say, we're defending families. So let's keep track of all the many ways that Democrats have shown that they are deeply, deeply interested in protecting families. Let's go through some of them. Dividing them by forcing kids or parents to stand by as their kids are trans. State of Colorado has just passed a bill that will make dead naming and misgendering a crime, and they can come in and steal your kids from you if you refuse to pretend that your girl is a boy. It just passed the House by Democrats. This pro-family party, the Democrats, fighting for families so they can have proxy voting so people like Anna Polina Luna can have a babysitter or not have a babysitter, rather can be home voting. They also backed declaring no parental rights in schools. You don't get to have any say into the pornography we show your kids. We'll choose the porn we show them, not you. Not that most parents want to show their kids porn. Stealing parental rights on vaccine decisions and on non-vaccines, gene sequencing devices like the mRNA disaster. Destroying the minds of kids, racially teaching division, sexually teaching early activity, encouraging it, pushing it. Destroying families with abortion at any time in gestation, defending sex traffickers as they did in the state of California, making it harder and sometimes impossible to charge felonies when adults impose their lust upon the bodies of children. Sure, this was about Democrats deeply, deeply caring about families. Nine Republicans. And I know it frustrates people in the AFR family when I talk this way. But once again, Mike Johnson shut the House down. How about this? We're not going on recess till this is over. Yeah, you're not going home for Easter. Sorry. I know it's perhaps the most holy day in the Christian world. So maybe we'll take a break Easter morning, but we're not going home. That's what should be done. He should call them back. The body politic is sick. There are, though, some signs that the sickness of our bodies in politics is finally beginning to be addressed. We should choose responsible medicine, right? Responsible use of medicine. You know that God designed medicine, right? I mean, food, properly treated, is medicine. Yes, it's fuel for our bodies, but it's also medicine. I marvel at people who have gathered the ability to be naturopathic nutritional doctors and how they have connected food A to items B, C, and D in bodies. I marvel at that kind of knowledge. It's something that I wish I possessed to a better degree, but I do know this, that God designed food to have these effects. The state of Utah took a step forward back to God's design for things. Utah has officially banned fluoride from all public drinking water. As you'll hear in this soundbite. Randy, do we have that soundbite? Okay. So Utah has banned water from public drinking, fluoride from public drinking water. Praise God. And some dentists and public health officials are saying that this could lead to health problems. Wait a minute. Wait. The water that God designed, not having fluoride added to it, is going to lead to health problems when fluoride is available in a myriad of other ways. And incidentally, the healthiness of fluoride is easily debated, given some studies that do show it leads to neurological issues, studies that even the FDA has not been able to quiet down, to tamp down. So praise God, we're beginning to see some of this, because if you look at this from God's perspective, and we can't think like he does, But we can consult His Word. We can spend time around more mature Christians. We can pray. We can ask the Spirit for guidance. He calls them common blessings. Food, water, temperature, air, oxygen rather, all of this to the righteous and the unrighteous alike. We don't need fluoride in water. That should be something that's simple and non-controversial, but here we are with one state banning it, Utah. The Wall Street Journal recently wrote about some fears that food companies have in relation to the Make America Healthy Again movement. This is from the Journal. Another concern for food companies that the so-called Make America Healthy Again, or MAHA movement, could begin influencing how low-income consumers eat. While Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s call for the removal of artificial dyes from the food supply likely won't pose a significant financial challenge, many companies have already limited these additives in their European products and could easily do the same here, the real threat lies in MAHA's potential to reshape Americans' overall perception of food. It must do that. Praise God that soda is no longer going in SNAP. Soda is not food. The soda belongs in there. You could say cigarettes belong, and this is polluting the temple, not just of our bodies, but of our minds. No, of our minds. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. describes just how significant the impact of diet is on violent behavior. Robert F. Kennedy described how the problem of food in settings like prisons and treatment centers has led to violence. He said that in a study, violence went down 70% in prisons when they switched to whole food diets. Same thing happened, 100% in juvenile detention centers when they switched to a whole food diet. They are studying at Harvard a study that has shown that a carnivore diet can eliminate and cure schizophrenia. So how could that possibly be? It is possible because of our brains being affected by food, because food is medicine. So let's go through some mechanisms for how this could occur. Do you think that your body does not respond to inflammation? I mean, you have inflammation, right? You've had that happen. And when you get inflamed, what do you feel like, right? Your muscles feel tight. You have trouble standing up. Do you think that our brains don't get inflamed? Do you think that our neurology doesn't get inflamed? Not our neurology, but our spinal cord, etc. It does. And the amount of dyes and additives and acids and etc. in our food system, in our processed foods, that adds up over time into massive, massive poison for us. And it can affect our minds. There's a book called Sugar Rush. I encourage you to read it. I got to spend time with the author in Mexico, and I got to ask him questions about the book Sugar Crush. And what he has proven, in my mind, proven, is that the massive amounts of sugar that our bodies consume, that we choose to consume for it, is not just leading to things like carpal tunnel disorder, it actually bakes your body from the inside out and the outside in. And it was Dr. Richard Jacoby I spent time with. He paints a very, very clear picture that our bodies are affected to inflammation by such a degree that it can inflame our brains and can lead to Parkinson-type symptoms and dementia-type symptoms. And of course, it could lead to violence, inflammation of the brain. We should choose the medicine God designed. God designed food as medicine. We should choose that before we ever reach for a pill or a shot. In other words, be proactive. I'm Todd Herman. We'll come back under Disciples View.
Yeah!
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. This is going to sound very, very strange, but I've begun to question whether we can continue as a nation to support Europe. Now, from a perspective of being in the world and not of it, I have the same question. Can God support Europe? I mean, he loves his people. He created us in his image. Certainly, there are great Christians there. There's robust Christian communities. But can he bless nations like Ireland and UK, where we're watching his word stomped on and people attempting to extinguish it? God can't bless that. When these things are becoming official policy, I'm wondering to what degree we as a nation are willing to back these nations with, God forbid we are forced to use it, our military treasure, that is lives and blood. And I know that sounds very strange. First of all, I'm not a foreign policy expert by any stretch of the imagination, and are there really any? But when I'm looking at what is being done to people internationally, specifically in Europe and in these countries, I'm wondering, what exactly would we be preserving? I mean, lives, yes. I mean, if the UK was attacked, again, God forbid if that happens, as a NATO member, we would be contractually obliged to go defend them. Same thing with France and other NATO countries. One NATO country is attacked, all are attacked. That's what NATO means. But I find myself questioning that now. And I'm doing this not because I've suddenly fancy myself having come upon some great talent for foreign policy, but because I have friends who serve and have served. And I'm asking myself real questions. What exactly would we be going to defend? So let me give you some examples. Six police officers in England, in Britain, went up to a house in their yellow vests and they arrested two parents in front of their children. Took them away as their kids are terrified. Why? I want you to take a guess. And it's actually, they weren't praying. They didn't commit the unforgivable sin in Britain of praying in their own heads, far from an abortion clinic, hiding behind a tree. We know that's illegal. We know you're going to be taken to court for that. We know you can be arrested for that, particularly if you're praying to the Christian God, the only God. No, they complained. They complained on a local WhatsApp page or app. They had some complaints about their neighborhood. So they were arrested. Are you willing to send our troops in to defend a nation where people are being arrested for complaining about their neighborhoods or for praying silently in their minds? Would you look a soldier in the eye and say, that's a country worth your blood and your life? Or perhaps I'm looking at this the wrong way. Perhaps I should be looking at the lives we could save. True. Absolutely. If, God forbid, Britain was attacked in a savage way by the Chinese Communist Party, then we could begin to measure the proportion of evil. I think if you look at the Chinese Communist Party and what they're doing in the death camps with the Uyghurs, what they're doing in their medical experimentations, trying to install the wombs of swine into men so that men can better pretend to be women. I think if you look at the way they treat their citizenry, you look at their social credit system so far ahead of ours, that it's a prison nation, then you can compare that to North Korea, and North Korea seems more evil. We can do that. That's great. And that makes sense. So if China attacks the UK, okay, it's a greater evil. But what if it's not China? Are we still going to go commit American treasure to this? Is the UK worth it? I'm not asking if the people are worth it. I'm asking about the government. Let me give you another example. The UK government has gone to Gab. Do you know what Gab is? It's a communication social media app. And recently, Andrew Torba, the founder there, added AI to this. I interviewed Andrew once. Very interesting guy. If I'm not mistaken, he calls for a brand of Christian nationalism. I am not a Christian nationalist. And the brand that Andrew Torbaugh calls for, as I recall our conversation, was electing Christian men and women, making an effort to have godly people leading, not outlawing other faiths. That's my recollection. And Gab is not Twitter, and it's not Facebook, and it's never reached that level. I don't think the authorities are ever going to reach that level, let it reach that level. The media is not going to say, join us on Gab, the way they promoted Twitter and Facebook. The government is going to have a boot on the neck because this guy will not give in the censorship. Well, in the UK, they sent an American company a nasty gram from lawyers, and it said, because you will not censor posts in the UK, we're going to put a fine on you of about $118,000 or 10% of your revenues. And we're going to begin collecting that right now. This came from Ofcom. And Ofcom is a censorship group in the UK that approves what you can say and not say in media. So Andrew Torbaugh's lawyers wrote back and said, yep, we're not going to comply. We're an American company. Our servers are in America. We're located here. We have no physical presence in the UK whatsoever. We're not going to comply. We're not going to pay you. We're not going to respond to any more notices from you. And they pointed to President Trump's executive order, making it illegal for governments to censor people. Our government. Are you willing to say to a serviceman or woman, you know what? The UK government is worth your life. Well, I guess you could say the same thing about our nation, right? I mean, I'm exploring thoughts here. I said this is weird. I'm exploring the thoughts. There was a time where we were being censored by our government. Would that mean that, well, you shouldn't defend our nation? We have an industrial level of abortion. Would that mean that we shouldn't defend our nation? Maybe what we're really seeing is the brokenness is everywhere. Well, and then more to the point, God is still defending us. I mean, there's things he can't bless, but every second in our way of thinking, every second, Jesus is in the triune Godhead defending us from the accuser. Because every second of every what we think of as day, the accuser is in front of the triune Godhead saying, look at what he's doing. This guy's in the parking lot of a church and he is getting out the middle finger at somebody who cut him off. Look at him and you call him a Christian. And you have Jesus, the propitiation and payment for our sins, and also our intercessor saying, paid in full. No, that's paid in full. I paid for that. Well, but did you see what she did behind her husband's back with the family money? Paid in full. Did you see what he did behind the family's back with the paper, with the family money? Paid in full. So God's still defending us. And he never asks, are you worth it? So perhaps there's going to come a time where Europe, the UK, Ireland, is fallen to a point where, whoa, we cannot make a moral argument for defending them with our troops and our treasures. Maybe that day's going to come. And I think it's getting pretty close to it. At least in the case of Ireland. I mean, the UK is down the road. But what is being done in Ireland? This is unspeakably evil. Do you remember the Irish teacher named Enoch Burke? We've talked about him a bit on the show. He is being fined 40,000 euros. They are taking it out of his checking account. His other accounts have been seized. The so-called Attorney General in Ireland is going to seize his other assets, including his home and his car. He must have done something so bad. Yep. As a teacher, he refused to lie. He would not say that boys are girls. And for that, they're not just bankrupting him. They intend to make him homeless. Would we really fight for Ireland? If, God forbid, they were attacked, would we truly say, yep, we're coming to your aid because you're worth it? Tough question. We're not God. God can't bless this. You shall not lie. I created you in my image. Male and female, I created you. You will not lie. So Enoch Burke explained how the judge interacted with him during the trial.
I came in. The solicitor, or the counsel for the Attorney General, Brian Kennedy, senior counsel, was on his feet for about 20 minutes, waffling in his what he was doing, just doing the judge's work for him, the judge sitting on the bench. And then following that, I stood up and I had something to say. And within a few moments, before I had said a sentence or two, the judge then was interrupting me straight away, barracking me, not allowing me to speak. Eventually, when I told him this was an absolutely unprecedented matter, that my bank account was being frozen, that I was being my assets were being seized, I was stripped, eventually he relented for 5 minutes. He wouldn't look at me. I was looking away. And eventually, after 5 minutes, when I was fully in flow, explaining and making clear that this, that the whole problem here is that an underlying constitutional issue has not been addressed, at that point, he butted in and he said, "You've had your time, and I'm going to make my ruling."
Enoch Burke wouldn't call boys girls and girls boys. He wouldn't lie. He wouldn't deny how God created us male and female, and they are bankrupting him. And if Ireland were attacked, God forbid, would you send our troops? We have to send our prayers, and we should be excited to send our prayers, because Enoch Burke is a blessed man. That sounds weird. But the Lord Jesus told us, blessed are we. When people slander you and say all sorts of things against you because of me, we knew that this oppression would come, and here it is, but do we have to back the government that's doing it? Maybe we should start with finances. There's a lot of American companies who've chosen Ireland to do business in, particularly tech companies. Maybe we should make that harder, so they have to move home. Let's think some more about this as we continue to listen to Enoch Burke. He then described, Enoch Burke did, how the trial ended.
And it was a disgraceful scene. I was on my feet. I was saying, "Judge, I'm making a submission. This is very serious. I have to be allowed to finish to make this point, which is true, that you said none of this was true regarding the fact that the principal's demand, Principal Niamh McShane's demand to call a young boy they, to endorse, affirm transgenderism, that doesn't have a shred of legal authority, that it's never even been addressed by the courts. I said I have to be allowed to do this, and he would not hear tell of it. He plunged straight into a ruling that he had prepared, and he walked out the door a few seconds later."
The judge had probably been told, "You got to break this guy. We cannot have people questioning this." When the very idea is utterly, utterly, clearly a lie, what exactly would push a judge to enforce the breaking of a man financially for a lie? Perhaps the judge is truly convinced that when you say you're something, you are that. Let's try that out. Let's test that theory. So what if Enoch Burke had said, "Well, forgive me, but I'm a judge too, equal to you." What if he'd showed up wearing a black robe? "Judge to judge, let's have this conversation. You're a judge and I'm a judge and we disagree, and I've got the same power as you do because I'm a judge and you're a judge." What, would they strap him into the gallows for impersonating a jurist, practicing law without a license? "Well, to be clear, I'm a trans judge. And trans judges are judges just as trans women are women." Nope, the judge wouldn't let that stand, would he? Can we stand with Ireland? With our troops and our treasure and our money? Truly? Enoch Burke and his colleagues concluded this by discussing how these judges are under oath and will be judged.
"But this judge took an oath And I would end with that, really, just to say that he took an oath. He swore in the presence of Almighty God to uphold the Constitution and the laws, and he invoked God's aid. He said, may God direct and sustain me. And you know, there's a curse on you when you take an oath and then you break your oath and you lie and you steal. There's a curse on you, and
that's
there's a curse on this place.
There's a curse on that map.
Yes.
A curse on this. There's a curse on these courts.
Yes, there is
there's a curse upon them today. That's
yes.
very obvious.
Absolutely. So the outcome of the hearing this morning was that the Attorney General got everything he wanted. He took the salary. He's given permission to clean out Enoch's accounts of that 40,000. And I believe also the Attorney General was given permission to go after any other sources of income that Enoch might have.
And we are left writing checks, providing cover militarily, and with American companies located over there. Should that be the case? We're not God. He doesn't give up on us. Maybe we shouldn't give up on the people of Ireland, but we should employ, in my judgment, every significant economic bit of pressure we possibly can to Ireland for human rights violations. And we should do that now. There has to be a cost for this. Otherwise, being an ally of America doesn't mean anything, because America doesn't mean any serious business in how we select our allies. We'll come back under Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower Babbling here and a soundbite I want you to hear from a woman who is not a woman who should have kids. And her expression of what it is to have kids is fascinating. I do want to get to a YouTube comment. If you haven't checked out my YouTube channel, I'm torn. I get it. I know that Alphabet, the parent company of Google, is censorious. I know that. Praise God, on AFR, we are only guided by God. And if we're biblically observant and strict, we're good. And I want to be that way anyway. There's no speech codes here, in other words, other than God's word. In my podcast, I own it outright, and I speak my mind. And praise God, Spotify and iTunes, they've left us alone. Praise God. YouTube is not. So when my clips go up on YouTube, they are playing by YouTube's rules. So for instance, if I'm trying to talk about a sex trafficking event, it's not a phrase we use, right? So the people who edit my videos will make it fit within the YouTube equilibrium. So why do this? There's a guy who used to be a big fan of my show, and he hates me now because he contends that I'm giving you the speech codes I said I'd never do. I don't see it that way. I'm on YouTube to reach people with God's word. That's why I do this. I do this to put God's word into the news. That's the full reason. And YouTube has rewarded that. It's been really, really interesting the way they reward that. So it's their platform. It's their rules. Mouth open. Thoughts come out. And an editor makes sure it fits within the YouTube equilibrium. With my permission. That's not a speech code. But it's fascinating to look at the YouTube comments. And I'm assuming this came from a good Christian person. This is, by the way, my YouTube channel is youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. youtube.com/@thetoddhermanshow. And when you go there, when you arrive, please leave a comment and let me know you're from AFR. That gives me such joy to see that. And it helps us know that we can connect this way. This is a comment in relation to my discussion of President Trump's spiritual status. Is he a baby Christian, an adolescent Christian, a mature Christian? And Pep Stevens, I don't know whether this is a female or male. It seems like a male tone of voice. He writes, God did not call you to be in judgment of the faith of our president. You need to pray in secret if you feel you have to, but you need to shut your mouth shut or keep your mouth shut or God will shut your mouth. Do not touch God's anointed people. Interesting. And I wrote back and said, "Hi, Pep, I see you have judged me, yet I can relate to your view. After all, God alone is judge, and I have a force of trees in my own eye, as do you. We get to discern, to observe the fruits of the Spirit in others, especially fellow Christians. As a Christian brothers, we're actually called to hold one another to account. Thanks for the note, Pep. God be with you." President Trump says he's a Christian. He is the leader of the executive branch of our nation. I think we can discern. And I've had people say, yeah, no, we get to judge. As long as we're doing it by God's law, we get to judge. I prefer to look at it as discerning because it gives me great comfort for me, to remind myself that thank God, God is judge. Now, and that same story, a different YouTube comment, and this is why this is fascinating to me, absolutely fascinating. This comes from Rick, and last name is a whole series of letters, so I don't even know what it means. If there was a God, there would be no Donald Trump. That's one way, I guess, you could look at this. If there was no God, there'd be no Donald Trump, but would there be a you? Interesting. YouTube.com/@TheToddHermanShow. We'll get to the tire babbling and a personal note here. I can't wait to share with you what a 15-year-old boy asked me, a brilliant question about sanctification. I didn't know this woman existed. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm disconnected from pop culture. No reason for me to know she exists. And yet, here she is talking about parenting. This is the singer, Chappelle Roan, shared her opinion on becoming a parent.
All of my friends who have kids are in hell. I don't know anyone. I actually don't know anyone who's like happy and has children at this age. I have like a 1-year-old, like 3-year-old, 4 and under, 5 and under. I literally have not met anyone who's happy. Anyone who has like light in their eyes, anyone who has slept.
You haven't? Wow. Those were my favorite years of being a father because I had all the answers in my daughter's mind. And I wish I had been a lot better at saying, let's see what God says about all these things. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to your children's Bible. I wish I had put into her the spiritual muscle memory of doing that. I didn't, because I liked answering the questions. Well, what it was about God, sure, we tried to relate it to the Bible. I did, but I wasn't conversant in it. But oh my gosh, those ages, those are the greatest parenting ages. And if you don't know anyone who's happy, do you think maybe that might have something to do with you? In your selection of friends? And by the way, what part of the parenting journey did God say, this will be easy and you'll be happy and it's always going to be fun and you'll never have hard seasons? Do you know that you never really grow in true, for real closeness unless you've been through times of trouble? You know, when my wife and I went through a period of time that was super, super hard with our daughter, and when I watch my wife rebuild a relationship, I hear them laughing over something as simple as a YouTube clip. And I look at how my wife rebuilt that relationship and how I'm still trying to rebuild. And I marvel at that. And I can look at her and say, do you remember when? I do remember when. That's the steel of a permanent marriage. That's the steel of what God means in the marriage covenant. That's the steel of what God means in the one flesh. So maybe this woman should think about her friend selection, or maybe they're just grumpy around her. Something to think about. Sometimes it's frustrating to do, given what the bosses of the world are doing, but we do thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with their feature called the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents the Tower of Babbling.
And got my lipstick on today, so I'm a little bit more together. I cannot live in a country that voted for Trump. I cannot spend another 4 years under that man.
Oh, well, I guess there are places you could go, sir. Oh, pardon me, madam. Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling, almost always the case. Sometimes there's a bonus clip, but not today. Sound bite number one, Representative Gomez is upset that Pete Hegseth accepted a drink in front of a podium in Europe.
He stood in front of a podium in Europe holding a drink. So, of course, we want to know if his performance is compromised. If people were asking if the General Austin was compromised because of a heart issue.
Was his performance compromised because of a successful strike?
I yield
strike?
Back. Mister, I bring my...
You want to know? You want to talk about accepting responsibility?
The strike is talking about the Houthis. It's talking about the text scandal they tried to make into a huge scandal. General Austin wasn't compromised because of a heart issue. He compromised our nation by not telling the president, so-called Biden, in other words, the figurehead, where he was. Twice. That wasn't a mistake. It was a proactive decision to hide his heart procedure. Not to mention the fact that we had another general, General Miley, decide that he would commit treason and bragged about it with the Chinese Communist Party. He was willing to do that. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. In case you didn't know, dieting is racist.
The same diets as white women, we lose less weight and we lose it slower, even when we're following the diet, than our white women counterparts. It's literally that the racism that you're experiencing and the struggle to make ends meet actually means the diet don't work for you the same.
This is racist. Okay, food then is racist. Incidentally, black women are blessed. Many black women, most of them with a higher percentage of lean muscle fiber tissue. And if they add resistance training to what they're doing in the diet, they're going to lose weight more quickly in the proper way. Just saying. But that's racist. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. Remember when so-called Dr. Fauci said the so-called vaccine would stop you from getting infected?
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
I got infected about 2 weeks ago. It was my third infection, and I had been vaccinated and boosted a total of 6 times.
Look, I'll say it again. Psychopaths like showing you that they're psychopathing. What fun is being a psychopath if you don't get to say, hey, look, I'm going to psychopath right here in front of you. I don't mind when people criticize me, but when they criticize psychopaths, they're criticizing psychopathy itself because I am psychopathy itself. Can you tell I hold disdain for him? I should pray about that. That's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
A silent mouth is sweet to hear.
On a Disciple's View.
On a personal note today, as someone who has been blessed with the opportunity to lead young men, one of our jobs as leaders is to be constantly observing the development of the young men we lead. And what we're looking for are young men who are leaning into the faith, who are becoming serious and beginning to show signs that they're ready to be officially discipled. And in that case, we're going to spend more time with those young men. Sometimes in group settings, we'll pull them out. And I don't like that. That's hard for me because I like to be fair. And I like all the boys I lead. They all have very unique aspects of them that I like. Sometimes they're first-year high school students. They could be annoying, and I can annoy them. But there is one young man, and his level of thought about the faith and his sincerity and his questions and his behavior in group, where he's saying, hey, guys, I know you're trying to be funny, and you are, but I'm here to learn, and I really wanted to hear Todd and John answer this question. So the other night, we were wrapping up group, and this young man came to me. He said, hey, can I ask you a question for a second I didn't get to ask in group? I said, sure. Now, I want you to think. This is a 15-year-old boy, and we'd been talking about dying to oneself. We'd been talking about being clothed in Christ. We've been talking about to know that you're different at school because you might curse and you might be violent, and then at church group you act a different way. And that was a sermon delivered by a guy who 2 years ago was one of my students, and his name is Cadence. And Cadence, man, God worked through Cadence that night. So this current student, 15, he had a question. Listen to this question. Todd, how do I know what I will be like when I die to myself? Wow. Wow. I tell you, there are grown men who've been struggling with the aspect of dying to oneself for years. And I wonder how much of this is, well, but what will I be like? I mean, if I don't have my pet sins, what will I be like? If I don't have my pets walking right up to the line, really submitting, what will I be like? That's a great question. Praise God that Cadence gave such a great sermon that I was filled with the Spirit that night. And I said, dying to yourself, but to be filled with what? And this young man said, Jesus. Right. And then God gave me this. And when you fully accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what happens? What do you get? He said, well, you get saved, but you get the Holy Spirit. Right. So I got to say to him, man, I don't know what you're going to be like, except this, more like Jesus. Being sanctified, more like him every day. And God led me to say this. What's exciting to me is you're such a good young man now. I can't wait to see how God then decides to use you. Because, man, that's exciting. So we're always looking for those young men who are showing signs that they're ready to be discipled. And I think that seems ready to me. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until God gives us permission to speak together again, may his peace, which transcends all understanding, wash over you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.